This station, in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration, brings you by transcription, This is Civil Defense.
Weather Bureau, 78 degrees.
Well, there's the 5 p.m. map and forecast finished, if anybody's interested.
Ralph, the forecaster, once again dares to live dangerously.
Yeah, after the phone calls we got this morning asking where that storm disappeared to yesterday, what have you picked up for the community's main topic of conversation today? Yes, Abe?
Look, peons, if we didn't have weather, you'd be looking for jobs. So take delight in the quirks of nature.
Well, I say he's dared to predict rain.
I say he's dared to predict fair and warmer.
I say you're both off the beam. There is another storm moving this way, though.
Hey, Ralph. Jonesy just called. Said he'll be a couple hours late for the last trick tonight. The regional conference meeting just left out. He wonders if anybody can cover for him.
I'd do it myself, fellas, but I've got a civil defense meeting.
I can't do it, Ralph. Got a heavy date.
Well, I'll cover for him.
Thanks, Weather Pete. Bureau.
Tell him okay.
Ralph, take line two, please. Your wife.
Will do. Hi, dear. What's up?
I just wanted to ask you to bring home another pound of spare ribs for tonight. The Jennings are going to stay for supper.
What?
Now, Ralph, don't be angry, please. Susan's so nice. We're good friends. She brought little Nora and David over this afternoon to play with the children. And the kids have a lot of fun. I've asked them to stay for dinner. We'll fix the spare ribs out of the patio.
But you know I can't stand...
I know. Try to get along with him.
I suppose not. But I just get sick and tired of it.
You won't forget the spirit.
Maybe we can undercook Dan's and give him a bellyache.
Ralph, stop it now. Hurry home, dear.
There is the man who hasn't taken a verbal poke in the nose at the weather forecaster. And the Midtown Weather Bureau, where I was one of those guys, came in for its share of the razzing. But once in a while, you run across the needler who gets under your skin because he makes fun of even a logical explanation. I know I wasn't the only one who resented Dan Jennings needling. He was just that way about everything with everybody. You know how you try to be civil to people like...
I guess in the meantime, you sent up this special wind with instructions to turn away the storm, huh?
If you'd listened in on the 11 p.m. newscast, you'd have heard him tell about it veering east, Dan.
Too late for me, Ralph, boy. If you can't have this stuff happen before 10 o'clock, let's not have it happen. Here I was hoping to get my garden good and soaked, and you weather pilots chase it away. You against gardeners?
Some iced tea, Dan?
Yeah, I'll have some.
Daddy? I don't feel very good.
You need some dinner, honey. You'll be better in a little bit. You've played pretty hard today.
Oh, it was fine, but I don't feel good.
Run along now.
Here you are, Dan. Your little Nora looks like she really got some sunburn today.
She ought to get good and tan from that. Say, Nancy tells me you got into this civil defense business now, too. How'd they rope you in on that?
Happens to be something I think is pretty important.
Stupidest thing I ever heard.
It's got good company, Dan. Seems everything you hear about is the most stupid.
Well, that one beats them all. But say, you might tell them at the meeting tonight that I did hear a rumor about Inner Monongahela. They've developed a new supersonar sansonizer that shoots up in the air, and then when it gets over the U.S., it'll break open like a skyrocket, and planes will fly out and wipe us off the map. We'd better be ready.
Sure, I'll tell him.
Hey, what's your job supposed to be in civil defense? Or are you like everybody else I talk to? Don't know exactly what they're supposed to do.
They all have an assignment.
Yeah? Well, what's yours?
Mobile support.
Mobile support? Now, what's that supposed to mean?
You wouldn't understand if I told you, Dan. You wouldn't want to.
Supper's ready. Come on, those spare ribs are hot.
I'm coming, Nancy. I'll take mine. Well done.
You would. Next morning at work, the weather began to pop around us with the suddenness of a bolt of lightning. Several nearby windstorms started corkscrewing all over the map. Some rooftops were blown off in two towns east of us. A few minutes after nine, a severe weather bulletin came in over the teletype for our area, indicating the possibility of tornadoes striking up within a matter of a few minutes. I called the radio stations and had them broadcast warnings. At 10:04, we got a report of a tornado at Stoney, 20 miles to the south of us. Several homes were demolished. 3 people were hurt. 15 minutes later, we got word that the tornado had dissipated. We be kept in constant touch with Avila, Donnertown, Plainville, and all the other towns close by, checking their readings and air conditions. About 10:30, I had another call.
Ralph, take line one.
This is Ralph.
Hello, dear. I just called...
Look, honey, is it awfully important? We're running around here like...
Yes, I know, dear. You always are. I wanted to tell you about little Nora. Remember she said she wasn't feeling good last night?
Yeah, sure. I remember.
Well, the trouble was she got too much sun. She went into some kind of coma on Susan and Dad last night. Doctor had them take her to community hospital and put her in an ice cap. She came out of it. She's pretty sick. Susan called before they went to the hospital to see her this morning. I think I'll take a run over this afternoon.
You'll do nothing of the sort. Look, Nancy, we're liable to have a tornado here. You haven't been listening to your radio again. Now, don't take any chances. You turn the radio on and listen to the news flashes. Keep your eyes open. If it looks like a storm, head for the basement in a hurry.
Why, I have no idea, Ralph. I'll get the children in now and have them play in the basement. I'll be careful, dear. Don't worry about us. You be careful.
Yeah, I've got to go, dear. Bye. We'd been going at a rugged pace since I came in that morning. I sat down a minute for a smoke and to think. Midtown was the largest town in the danger area. If it hit us, we'd need help, plenty of help, all kinds of help. I suddenly remembered my other job. The thought of it lies in the subconscious of your mind all the time. You never know when you might begin that job on a moment's notice. It's the way all of us in civil defense feel. We've got to be ready. I went in and talked to the chief about it. He understood. Then I put in a call to the city's civil defense director. He agreed on what to do in case. 10 minutes later, looking out from our Weather Bureau tower at the airport, we saw it coming. It skittered around on the horizon like a bucking bronco, moving in on us like doom. The black funnel took on an almost mushroom-like shape, and I gulped twice. Was I looking into the future? We got another call into the radio stations. Then, it hit. Side seat at the draw, but the opponents were so mismatched. Buildings went flying like strawberry boxes. Trees were sprawled like jackstraws. Bodies were crushed like macaroni in a kid's fist. For 12 minutes, the Goliath gave vent to his fury, and 43 helpless people were killed immediately, 280 seriously injured. That's what I found out later. I waited until most of the blast appeared over, and then grabbed my car and dashed into town. Nancy and the children were safe. Luckily, it missed our section. It cut a north-south path just off the center of town, just like you'd wipe a streak across a dirty window with your finger. I pulled up in front of the civil defense headquarters at one of the outlying schools in the southeast part of town and ran inside. I was in my other job now. The director snapped some orders to me the minute I arrived.
Good boy, Ralph. We'll need everything in Plan B. Tell them, especially medical teams, the Twister leveled 3/4 of community hospital. Half their doctors are dead.
Our mobile support unit of civil defense was just part of the volunteer organization that swung into action to keep Midtown's tragedy to a minimum. I had trouble getting through to some of the nearby towns because phone lines were down. But finally, I knew we were going to get enough help. Thank God we had planned for such a catastrophe. Thank God these people had trained themselves. They came from towns as far away as the state capital, just as they might have to come someday if the big city is bombed by the enemy. In they came, medical teams, transportation teams, engineering teams, electrical teams, Red Cross feeding and shelter teams. Within 3 hours, these teams were working efficiently. I went around checking some of the locations. The debris was fantastic.
Hi, Ralph.
Hi.
The Red Cross feeding station's all set up. Worked out like we'd planned.
Good.
We should be able to take care of 400 people an hour.
Where's the other station?
I don't know where Lou planned it exactly. About a mile and a half south, I think.
I checked the second feeding station and then stopped in at the power company.
Yeah, Ralph. Damage isn't as bad as we thought. 4 big mains to repair, and with the boys you bought from Bayville, we'll have it done by midnight. Electricity into that area is something else now.
A lot of lines down.
Yeah, Jim's got all his men on it. Well, it's really great how those 8 electrician teams you called in fitted into the picture to help put the old jigsaw back together again.
That's what mobile support is for. Plant's okay?
Yeah, no damage at either one. Luckier than if we'd gotten a bomb.
My rounds, the confusion was slowly being straightened out. People separated from their families, the homeless being directed to a place to stay. Demolition teams were clearing streets. Part of them were mobile support units from nearby towns. Supply trains were organized in designated towns to keep food coming into the city. Ambulances and other emergency vehicles were dispatched to us to carry the injured to improvised aid stations. Gymnasiums had been converted into hospitals. All this had been planned months before. Civil defense volunteers had prepared themselves, trained themselves for just such a catastrophe, or a worse one. Pretty soon, with neighbor helping neighbor, we'd get back to normal. I checked the medical facilities last. The teams of doctors and nurses had the improvised medical facilities working efficiently. But community hospital gave me my biggest shock. It was hardly there anymore. 17 persons were killed in the hospital alone. 5 were doctors. It was toward evening that I suddenly ran into Dan. He was coming out of the only part of the hospital that remained standing. I flagged him down.
Ralph, I've been through a miracle today. I'll never believe it.
Where were you when it hit?
Here, visiting Nora. I don't know why her part of the building wasn't hit. Maybe to give me another chance.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she'll be just fine. And they haven't neglected her. In spite of all this mess. Doctor came in just a few minutes ago. Yeah, I used to know him. He's practicing over in Bayville. Said he's been here since 2:00. He told me how their civil defense unit got a call from you right after the tornado, and how all the nurses and doctors and truck drivers and machinery that could be spared came over, and how they came from other towns, too.
Yeah. We've got a big job on our hands, but it could have been worse.
I know what you're referring to, and I figure I can help, if you'll tell me how. I can see now how we've got to be ready, and I wasn't, Ralph. Looks like I've got another chance. Oh, I don't know how to say it, Ralph, but tell me what to do. Give me a job. Count me in on this civil defense, starting today.
Tornado was written by Bob Hahn and produced and transcribed by the Rocky Mountain Radio Council for the Federal Civil Defense Administration under the production supervision of Nat S. Linden.